Did you tell me good? All right, Rabotai, good morning and a good Kiddush. Let's begin. Today's daf is daf Ayin, page 70. We are picking up on Samech Tes on the day 69b. Va'azdu l'tamayu 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. So remember again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit, we spoke about a very interesting machlokes regarding a bachar, firstborn animal. And the case that we were dealing with was a third of the animal came out of its mother, and the Jew sold the first third to an akum. Then the second two thirds came out. Right, excuse me, I should say, the second third came out. So the shaila then was, what's the status of the animal? So we had a machlokes between Rav Huna and Rabba. Rav Huna said the animal is kadosh, because once the second third comes out, the majority of the animal comes out, Iglai Milsal Mafreya, it's retroactively clarified that the animal has Kedushas Bechar, and the initial sale is effectively void. Rabba says the animal is not Kadosh, because the Kedusha of Bechar only occurs once the majority of the animal comes out. And the problem is, by the time the majority of the animal comes out, Halacha Lamaisa, already a part of it is owned by the Gentile, thereby preventing the Kedushas Bechar from ever being chal. So the Gemara says, Va'azdu l'tamayu. And ultimately, again, I will say, and essentially, their machlokes is really on the nature of Kedushas Bechar. So really, Rav Huna is holding that Kedushas Bechar is retroactively takes effect from the beginning of the birth. In other words, it's triggered by the majority of the birth, or the birth of the majority of the body of the Bechar. But once the majority of the body of the Bechar comes out, that retroactively triggers the Kedusha to back to the moment of birth. Rabba says, no, Kedusha ultimately, again, is what we call Mikan Ulahaba. The Kedusha of the Bechar occurs once the majority of the animal has exited its mother, and ultimately, again, that Kedusha is from this point going forward. Va'azdu l'tamayu. And the Gemara says, ultimately what? That they both go according to their reasoning. The Itmar, it was another interesting case. Yotzah shlish derech dofen, u'shnei shlishi derech rechem. Also, this is an interesting case. You'll consult the physicians for anatomically how this occurs. But in any event, one third of the animal is born cesarean, and two thirds are natural birth. Right? There's like a little bit of bobbing and weaving over here, right? So there's an in and there's an out. So one third comes out, natural birth, two thirds comes out, cesarean. So what's the halacha? So in this case, remember again, for a Bechar animal is defined as petarechem, right? It's the one that opens the womb, which means that it is a din in natural birth. Here you have a situation where one third occurred cesarean, right? And two thirds occurred natural birth. Rav Huna Amar Eina Kaddish. Rav Huna says the animal is not Kaddish. Rabba Amar Kaddish. Rabba says the animal is Kaddish. Why? Both say same logic. Rav Huna Amar Eina Kaddish. Rav Huna says it's not Kaddish. Why? Rav Huna Latam Eid Amar Lamafreya Kaddish. Because let's remember again, Rav Huna is true to his position. What does Rav Huna hold? Rav Huna holds that halacha lemaisa, the status of a Bechar is retroactively chal to the beginning of its birth. Once the majority of the animal exits, we go retroactively back to the beginning of its birth. In this case, what was the beginning of its birth? It was Yotzei Dofen, a cesarean section. Since the beginning of its birth was not a natural birth, therefore there is no Kiddushas Bechar. So the Gemara says, Veruba kama leisei berechem. The beginning of the birth did not take place naturally. Rabba Amar Kaddish. Rabba says the animal is Kaddish. Why? Rabba Letameid Amar Mikana Lahaba Kaddish. Because we'll say Rabba's of the opinion that Kedushas Bechar begins when the majority of the animal exits the mother. At the point that the majority is exiting the mother, it is exiting in a form of natural birth. The ruba derech rechem nafik, the majority of the animal came out in a natural way. So therefore again, bro say, you see the same machlokes. So the Gemara says, Utsricha, and we need to quote both forms of the machlokes. Why? The yashmo inan baha kam Rav Huna mishum de lekula. I might have thought, again, it's only in this case where Rav Huna holds his position, because it results in a kula, i.e. the animal is not a bechor. But in the case where there's a chumra, maybe he would agree with Rabba, top of ayin. The itmar baha, and if we'd only have said this case, But in this case, Rabba holds his position of Mikana Lahaba. But in the previous case, Ema Modile the Rafuna, therefore Tzicha. So bottom line, we have a fundamental machlokes about essentially how the mechanism or how the process of Kiddushas Bechar unfolds. Here's what everyone agrees with. When does an animal receive its Kiddushas Bechar? When does it receive it? When the majority of the body of the animal exits the mother. Machlokes Rav Huna and Rav is what then happens at that point. Excuse me, Rabba. Rav Huna says, once the majority of the body exits, retroactively that Kedusha goes back to the beginning of the birth. And Rabba will say, no, it's only Mikano Lahaba from this point forward. How do we paskin, Rabba say? The Rambam paskin is like Rav Huna, that halacha lemaisa, once the majority of the body of the animal is born, the Kiddushas Bechar retroactively goes back to the beginning of its birth. Which Rav Osai then tells us that if I have an animal and I sold the first third of that animal, the first third of its body that came out to an akum, ultimately, again, that sale would be voided. Because once the majority of the animal comes out of its mother, that Kiddushas Bechar is retroactively chal to the beginning of its birth, and therefore, again, it's mafkia. It ultimately undoes or unravels that sale to the akum. That is indeed the halacha. Good. Tanan. Let's go weiter. Once we're on the topic of Bechar, you might as well do a couple of more cases. So Tanan, Hamivakeres Hamekasha Leleid. Here we go. So we'll say, so remember again, it's kind of still on the same machlokes. So this is the Mishnah. The Mishnah was an animal is giving birth, and it is giving birth to a Bechar. And what happens? Mechateich Ever Ever Umashlech Leklavim. So we'll say, remember again, what did the Mishnah say? Technically speaking, as the Bechar animal is coming out, you could cut off limb from limb of that animal, the animal coming out of its mother, and you could feed it to the dogs. Now, what does that mean? My love, mechate chumaniach, does that not mean that what I could do is I could cut off the limbs as they're coming off, put them in a pile, right, put them in a pile, and then feed them to the dogs all at once? Now, understand if that's true, the ramifications of that are as follows. The amrit lemafreyahu kadosh. Now, if we really paskin like Rav Huna, that what? That once the majority of the animal exits the body of the mother, then what happens, Rabbi Osai? The Kiddushas Bechar is retroactively chal to the beginning of the birth. If that's the case, then I should not be able, then once the majority of the animal comes out of its mother, Rabbi Osai, what's the status of those limbs? Right, they have Kiddushas Bechar. If that's the case, then what? Then halach lamaisa, they cannot be fed to the dogs, but in fact, they need to be buried. You cover me, boyle. To which the Gemara says, so lo, achama askinan, what's the case? B'mechatech u'mashlech. No. The case, ultimately, again, of the Mishnah, is where I'm cutting off the limb of the animal as it's coming out of its mother, limb by limb, and I'm feeding it to the dogs, limb by limb. Ava mechatech u'maniach mai. Rabbi say, but what would be the halacha if indeed you were to cut off the limbs and put them in a pile? What would be the halacha, Rabbi say? You cover. Einachinami, because you're passing like Rav Huna, once the majority of the animal comes out of its mother, then what? The Kiddushas Bechar is retroactively chal to the beginning of the birth. All of the limbs are vested with Bechar Kiddusha, and you would have to bury them, not feed them to the dogs. If that's the case, says the Gemara, Adetan is safe, Yatsaruba, you cover Viniftra Mina Bechora. If that's the case, then why does the Mishnah in the end choose to introduce a new case? Remember again, what did the Mishnah say? If the majority of the animal came out, right? And let's say again, then you cut off that part of the animal, so it has to be buried. Furthermore, again, any subsequent animal that is born is potter from the Bechor. So why invent a new case? Lifnog v'lisne bididei. B'med dar mamurim. When is this true that you could feed the limbs of the animal to the dogs? B'mechateich u'mashlich. That's if you cut off the limbs and you throw them to the dogs immediately. Umashlich ever, ever. Ava mechateich u'maniach. But if halacha lemaisa, you're cutting off the limbs as they're coming out of the animal. And what happens? You're putting them in a pile. What's the halacha? Once the majority of the animal, the majority of the limbs comes out, what's the halacha? You cover, right? You have to bury the animal. So we'll say, Twitch the Gemara says, you're right. Hachinami kamra. This is actually what the Mishnah means to say. When is this true ultimately that you could feed the limbs to the dogs? B'mechateich u'mashlich. When you cut off the limb and you immediately throw it to the dogs. Aval mechateich u'maniach. But if you were to go ahead and cut off the limbs and what? Put it in a pile. Na'aseh kemishi yatzarubo v'kaver. The halacha would be that it's as if but if you put the limbs in a pile, it's as if what? The majority of the body of the animal has come out, Kiddushas Bechor is there, and you'd have to bury the limbs. So essentially, just another reinforcement of the fact that we paskin like Rav Huna, and therefore again, halacha lemaisa, Kiddushas Bechor really only kicks in once the majority of the animal exits its mother. But once it kicks in, we paskin like Rav Huna, that it will be retroactively chal to the beginning of birth. And therefore, even in this case, where you're cutting off the limbs of the animal as they come out, if you're placing it in, if you could feed them one by one to the dogs, but if you happen to be placing it in a pile, the moment that the majority of the limbs come out, in that moment, halacha lemaisa, Kiddushas Bechor is chal on the limbs, you would no longer be permitted to feed the limbs to the dogs, you'd have to go ahead and bury it. Good, weiter. Bayrava. Halchu be'ivarn achar harov, olo halchu be'ivarn achar harov. So it's an interesting question the Gemara is posing over here. Literally translated, do we go after the majority? Or when it comes to limbs, do we go after the majority or not? Okay, so which the Gemara says, what does that mean? Heichi dami, what exactly are you referring to over here? Ilema kegon sheyatza rov b'miyot iver. So I'll say, sorry, I'm talking about the following, it's actually fascinating. So say, remember again, so do you mean, let's say, the majority of the animal was born. Let's say a case, the majority of the animal was born. But I will say, that majority is made up of the minority of one limb. So let's say again, 51% of the animal has come out, but that 51% happens to be made up of the minority of one limb. So let's say the minority of the hind leg contributes to that majority, which means a minority of the hind leg has exited the body, which contributes to the majority of the animal, but the majority of the hind leg itself is still inside of the mother, is still in utero. So what's the shayla? The kami bayile, hai miut debroi, basa rov de ever shadina le, o basa ruba de uber shadina le. And I both say, what's the shayla? The shayla is, do we say that the minority of the limb which has exited the body, we'll call it the minority of that hind leg, does that go after the majority of the uber, which has exited the body, or what? Or the majority of its own limb, which is still inside the body? To which the Gemara says, Pshita delo shafkinon ruba de uber, v'azlinon basa rov aver. To which the Gemara says, no, that's not a kasha. It's obvious, Rabosai, that when there is a conflict or when there is a tension between the majority of the ubar and the majority of the aver, then of course we go after the majority of the ubar. So we'll say, so for example, in this case over here, where let's say again, the majority of the ubar has exited the mother. That majority happens to be made up of, partially, of the minority of, I'm using the hind leg as an example, of the minority of the hind leg. So there's no question about that minority of the hind leg is not considered to be halachically part of the majority of the hind leg, which is still in utero, but it's clearly part of the majority of the ubar, which has exited the mother. So what's the shayla? That's obvious. Ela kegon sheyatza chetziav berov aver. Rather, I will say, here is the shayla. What happens if 50% of the animal has exited the mother? This is an interesting case. 50% of the ubar has exited the mother. And I will say, what's happened now? 50%. Now that 50% of us is actually quite interesting. Is made up of the rove of the majority of one aver. So we'll say, just to illustrate this, 50% of the ubar has left the mother. That now remember again, 50% by itself doesn't help us. What do we need? 51%, right? We ultimately need a majority of the animal having left the mother. Now, interestingly enough, what happens if that half of the animal is comprised of the majority of one aver? So for example, on both sides, 50% of the animal has left, and included in that 50% is the majority of the hind leg, which means what? The minority of the hind leg is where? Is still in utero. So what's the shayla? Watch this. The kami bayile, hahu miyot digavoi mahu lemishtiye basa rov aver. And I will say, what's our shayla? It's a fascinating shayla. Can we say that the minority of the hind leg, which is in utero, follows what? Follows what? The majority of its limb, which is outside of the mother. So what's the ramification of saying that? Makes it a rov. We'll say, so again, you hear this, it's such a fascinating shayla. Right? So we'll say, so ultimately, do we say that the minority of the hind leg, which is left in utero, can follow the majority of the hind leg, which has already exited the body, right, exited the mother, thereby completing the rov of the animal having left its mother? Incredible. To which the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. Tashma. Yatsa rubo hare ze yikaver. So what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that if the majority of the animal, this is by Bechor, the majority of the animal left its mother, right, the majority of the animal exited, so ultimately, again, it's buried, because it has Kedushas Bechor. My rubo. But say, what does it mean when we say majority? Ilema rubo mamish. If you want to say that, it literally means the majority of the animal. Ad hashta lo ashmo inon deruba kakulo. You will say, that's obvious. In other words, the Mishnah can't just be telling me that if the majority of the animal exits its mother, that suddenly again has Kiddushas Bechara. Bosei, we know that. The concept of Rubo Kekulo, the concept of the majority having the status of the whole, is a Shas concept. We've seen that many times. I don't need a Mishnah to teach me that. Elalav Kigon, I should say, I have plenty of Mishnayos which already teach me that. So rather, what is the Mishnah coming to teach me? Elalav Kigon, Sheyatza Chetziyav Beroveiver. Rather, it must be saying that what? And perhaps Mishnah is talking about our case, which is 50% of the ubar has already exited the mother. That 50% is made up of part of that 50% is the majority of one aver. And what is the Mishnah teaching me? That halacha lemaisa, the miut, the minority of the aver, which is still inside of the mother, is considered to follow the majority of the aver, which has already left. To which the Gemara says, "Lo, kigon shiyatsa rubo b'miut aver." No, actually, what it's talking about, Rabbi Say, is a different case. The majority of the animal, the majority of the ubar, because we're getting interchangeable words. The majority of the ubar has exited the mother, but the majority of the ubar is made up of a miut of an aver. So, for example, that majority, that 51% of the ubar, Rabbi Say, is what? Is made up of a minority of the hind leg. And what's the chiddush over here? The kamash malon, de lo shafkinon ruba de ubar de behema va'azlinon basar aver. And the Mishnah is coming teaching that, Rabbi Osai, that we do not forsake, right, the rove of the ubar in favor of the rove of the aver. So Rabbi Osai, an incredible, I don't know if it's a chiddush, but it's an incredible halacha. So therefore, I will say, it turns out that the statement of the Mishnah is actually teaching us something dramatically different than we already thought. Yes, the Mishnah is teaching me that if halacha lemaisa, the rove of the Bechor exits the mother, it has Kiddushas Bechor, and therefore, if you end up cutting off that majority of the animal that has exited its mother, halacha lemaisa has to be buried as Kiddushas Bechor. But what's the novelty here? The novelty is that is a case of rove that is comprised of the miut of an aver, the rove of the ubar that is comprised of the miut of an aver. And what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that even though the 51% is comprised of the miut or the minority, I'm using the hind leg of the hind leg, and there's a tension now, does that minority of the hind leg, which has come out of the mother, does it follow the ubar? Or does it follow the rest of its aver that is inside the mother? And the chiddush is, it follows the ubar, not the majority of its aver that's inside the mother, thereby completing the rove of the animal. Beautiful. Bay Rava. Right, we'll say another couple of very interesting cases here. Karcho besiv. So we'll say, what we've established already over here is that halacha lemaisa, in order for an animal to have kiddushas bachar, so ultimately it has to be a pet arechem. So we've established already that means it has to go ahead and be a natural birth. That's why the cases of Yotzei Dofen that we saw on Amud Beis do not create Kiddushas Bechar. In addition to being a natural birth, Rabbi Osei, we assume that also means that the animal must come out normally of the birth canal, which we're assuming also means contact with what we call Kosle Beis Harechem, the walls of the birth canal. We're going to now engage in a series of cases, I will say, where the animal is, quote-unquote, delivered through natural birth, but never actually has contact with the birth canal walls. So the shaila is, what happens in a case like this? So watch this. Bayi Rava, karcho besiv mahu. They both say, now again, as we're going to see, the practicality of these cases are not really that important, right? We're just trying to figure out conceptually, ultimately, again, what works and what doesn't work. So for example, if let's say again, the person were to reach into the womb of the animal and were to go ahead and wrap the fetus, they both say, sieve is literally palm bast. It's like it's the plant part that grows along the base of a palm tree. You were to wrap the baby, the fetus, inside palm bast and deliver it like that. Then I will say, what's the chiddush? The only reason they're using this sieve shebedekel is this idea because it's soft. So you were to wrap the baby in that. What's happening over here? That means the baby is coming out naturally, but what? There's an interposition between the baby and the costly base harechem and the birth canal walls. Or betaliso mahu. What happens if you were to wrap the baby in a cloak? Right, right. Bishil yaso mahu. What happens if the fetus is wrapped in the placenta? To which the Gemara says, well, that's not a good one. Bishil yaso urchehu. Well, so the fact that the fetus is wrapped in the placenta, that's normal, right? That always happens. So that's not a problem. Ella bishil yacheres. Well, what happens if you wrapped the fetus in another baby's placenta? Mahu. Karachto va'achzaso va'otziaso mahu. We'll say what happens if ultimately again you wrapped it up, right? You wrapped it up ultimately again and you took it out. Va'otziaso mahu. Heichidami. So we'll say, so what's the case in all these cases? So we'll say, the common denominator over here in all of these cases is that halacha lemaisa, it appears that the body of the fetus is not touching the kostei beis harechem. So it's being delivered naturally, but its body is not touching the birth canal walls. So what is the is this considered to be a pet harechem or not? To which the Gemara says, hey chidami, well, let's further clarify the case. So if the head is coming out first, patrasei. So we'll say again, remember, the birth of the head by itself is, meaning even without the majority of the body, the birth of the head by itself is enough to establish a birth. So if the head is coming out and you're just subsequently wrapping the body, there's nothing else to talk about. Look at Rashi. I will say it's Rashi in the first wide line on the bottom. Patrase, Reishe Lerechem, the Kadosh Miyad, the Hayatza Rosho, Hare Zekiyolos. I will say if the head is born, normally you're just wrapping the rest of the body, there's nothing else to talk about. To which the Gemara says, Ela denufik derech margolosav. So rather, what do you have to say? You have to say that it's coming out feet first. Baby's coming out, right? The animal, the fetus, is coming out feet first. And what you're doing is before the majority of the body comes out, you're wrapping the body in this interposing material so that the majority of the body does not exit in a natural way. It's interesting, I should take it back. It's coming out in a natural way, but halacha lemaisa, it is going ahead and not touching kostei beis harechem. So I'll say, the Gemara gives a more even seemingly extreme case. So we'll say, what happens if a weasel went ahead and swallowed up the fetus of the other animal? Votziaso, and then ultimately again expelled it. Mahu, hotziaso hafikse. I don't understand if it. So we'll say, we're going to define this case. It means just what it means. Just a moment. Hotziaso, the Gemara says, I don't understand. Did the animal deliver it or not deliver it? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says bilaaso chulda b'soach harechem b'hotziaso. So we'll say the way Rashi is understanding this case over here is that halacha lemaisa, the weasel literally is going inside of the other animal, pulling and swallowing the fetus inside of the other animal and extracting it like that. To which the Gemara says, well, if the weasel is going into the other animal and swallowing the animal while it's in utero of the first animal, then of course there's no birth. To which the Gemara says, Ella, okay, this is a little bit wild, Bula asa vahotziasa vichnisasa vihikiyasa viyatsa me'elav. All right, so I'll say, so what happens? The weasel goes in, swallows up the animal, right, expels it, puts it back into the womb of the animal, right, and then it born again. All right, we'll say, whatever, you'll Google it. Right, mahu, right, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? So we'll say, but I want to point out, you understand, the Rishonim already point out to we'll say that obviously these are highly hyperbolized cases. The Gemara is just trying to figure out the basic yisod. We'll say, and you'll see something very interesting in just a moment. Well, mahu, what's the halacha in this case? So another case, we'll say, this is actually fascinating. Hidbik shnei rechamim v'yatza mizeh v'nichnas lezeh. What happens if there are two animals with attached wombs? And what happens? And I will say, the animal went from one womb to another womb. So two animals with attached wombs, and the fetus went from womb A to rechem B, to womb B. V'nichlas hazeh mahu, and Rabbi said it's born out of animal B. So mahu, didei patar, delav didei lo patar. So Rabbi said, do we say, So here's what's interesting. If the animal was, if the fetus was conceived in A, but then there was a womb transfer to animal B, and it's born from animal B, so technically speaking, it's a petarechem of animal B. But yet, interestingly enough, what? It's not the seed of animal B. So do we say that the only time you're a petarechem is when? Is ultimately when you are a petarechem, ultimately of the animal in which you were conceived. But if you were the animal, but if you were not conceiving that animal, then you're not a petarechem, or not? O dilma, delav didei nami patar, to which the Gemara says, we'll say about all of these cases, teku. All right, so we'll say, so again, it's what, now I will tell you, we'll say that halacha lemaisa, the Rambam does paskin in the earlier cases, which are a little bit more straightforward. The cases ultimately, again, where you're reaching into the animal, wrapping the animal in palm bast or in a talis. So the halacha Rabbi say in those cases is that halacha maisa, that animal does not have kedushas bechar. If the animal is born without with something interposing between it and the walls of the birth canal, that could actually prevent kedushas bechar from devolving upon the animal. The more complicated or convoluted cases, the Rambam does not seem to go ahead and rule on those. Okay, weiter. Bei Ravacha, niftichu kosle beisrechem al. This is actually an interesting case. What happens if the animal experienced some type of injury to the point that the birth canal is opened up? Now, both say, now what that means for our purposes is as follows. What that means for our purposes is the animal is being born through the birth canal, but no contact with the walls of the birth canal. So essentially, the birth canal of the animal got overly stretched out for whatever occurred. So the animal is being born in a normative, natural way, but it's having no contact with the walls of the birth canal. So what's the halacha mahu? Avirechem makdish va'ika. So do we say it's the airspace of the birth canal that's makdish, and that is occurring over here? Oh, dilma negias rechem mekatsha v'halacha. Or Rabbi said, do we say no? It's actually contact with the walls of the birth canal that create kedusha, and in this case, there's no contact. So Abai Maravashi Nekru Kosli Beisarechem Mahu. I will say now what this case literally sounds like is, what happens if the walls of the Beisarechem, the walls of the birth canal, were dislodged? Right? What's the halacha? Nekru, dislodged, halesnu. Bosei, if at the end of the day they were dislodged, they're not there. If they're not there, there's nothing to talk about. Ella, ne'ekru v'talu b'tzavare. Bosei, an interesting case over here. What happens if the mother suffered some type of traumatic injury where the walls of the birth canal are dislodged, but actually where do they become dislodged around? The fetus's neck. So Bosei, so the walls are there around the fetus's neck, but they're no longer part. They become detached from the mother's body. So what's the halacha? Mai, b'mkomon mekachi, shlo b'mkomon lo mekachi. Do we say the walls of the Beis HaRechem are mekadish, sanctify when they're intact, but if they're not intact, they're not mekadish? O dilma shlo b'mkomon na mekadish. Or do we say maybe if even if they're not intact, they still have the ability ultimately to sanctify? So boi mene Rabbi Yom Yom Rabbi Zeira, nigmamu kosli Beis HaRechem au. We'll say, what happens if nigmamu? Rashi says, nitame oviak salmi bifnim savis savim. So we'll say, nigmamu literally means if the walls of the kosle beis harechem were peeled away. The outer layer was peeled away. So what's the halacha? To which the Gemara says, Amalei, kanagat bebaya di'ibayalan. You're asking the very question we've been dealing with. Di'ibay Rabbi Zeir, Amalei, by Rabbi Zeir, Amalei, Rabbi Zeir, omed meruba ala parotz. This is another interesting case. What happens in the following situation? The mother has the birth canal, but the birth canal has sections which are intact and sections which have dissolved. So there's amud, which is opening, parutz, which is, amud, which is solid birth canal wall, versus parutz, which is open area. So we'll say, if the intact part of the walls is greater than the dissolved part of the walls, the yatza derech parutz, and it goes out, but it doesn't come out by way of the normative wall. Instead, it goes out by one of the openings. Or parutz meruba al ha'amud. Or Rabbi say, for that matter, again, there's more of the birth canal missing than intact. The yatza derech omud, but ultimately, again, the animal exits its mother through by one of the parts of the intact birth canal wall. Mai, what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, well, 1 second. Ad kan lo yibayile ela parutz meruba ala amut. So what says the Gemara, our kasha is dealing with the case of at least where some of the birth canal wall is intact. So that's the shayla. Di'ika omid ba'olam, because some of the birth canal is intact. Aval nigmamu. But I will say where the walls of the birth canal themselves have been peeled away, and there is nothing really left of those walls, lo kami ba'ile. That is not a shayla. And as we'll say, in that case, halacha lemaisa, if the walls were peeled away, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, the animal does not have kedushas bechor. So therefore, we'll say, it appears that in this particular case, if the walls themselves were actually peeled away, then halacha lemaisa, the animal does not have kedushas bechor. Okay, incredible. Amud Beis, we'll say, says the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Behema Shemes Ubra Besoch Me'eha. So we'll say, here we go. If you have an animal and the fetus died in utero, So what's Talacha? So we'll say now, the Gemara is asking a different kind of Shiloh. Vaho Shet Haroa Es Yado, and the shepherd reaches in to the womb of the animal, Vinagabo, and touched the dead fetus. So we'll say, so now what's the Shiloh? Bein Bebehema Tmeya, Bein Bebehema Tahora, Tar. They will say whether ultimately, again, we're dealing with a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal, ultimately, again, the shepherd is tar. Which they both say, what is the Tanakhama saying? The Tanakhama is saying that the dead fetus does not transmit tumah. Remember, again, an animal that dies without shechita is a nevela. A nevela transmits tumah. The Tanakhama is saying that a dead fetus inside of its mother in utero does not transmit tumah. Rabbi Yossi, really, Omer, b'tmeya tamei u'b'tahora tar. Rabbi Yossi says it depends. If it's a behema tahora, then enachinami, the dead fetus does not transmit tumah. But if it is a behema tamei, a non-kosher animal, then if you contact with the dead fetus in utero, ultimately, again, will transmit tumah. Says the Gemara, let's analyze this. So we'll say fundamental machlokas. So my time with the Tanakhama. So what's the Tanakhama's logic? Why does the Tanakhama hold that under no circumstances does the deceased fetus in utero go ahead and transmit tumah? Rav Chisda kavachomer. Rav Chisda says it's a simple kavachomer. We'll say what's the kavachomer? Im ho ila imo lahatiro ba'achila. If Rabosai, the mother, the shechita of the mother, ultimately goes ahead and allows for the fetus to be consumed without its own shechita, lo soya lo litahuri midei nevela. Certainly, again, the mother should also go ahead and what? Help the fetus that it doesn't convey tumas nevela. So essentially what the Tanakhama is saying is like this. Essentially, we treat the fetus like what? Like the mother. So the same way that if I shecht the mother, right? I don't have to shecht the fetus. Even though I must remember, again, we're going to see the more extreme case of this. The more extreme case of this is, you shecht the mother. You open up the mother. There's a fetus. The fetus gets up jumping around, right? What's the halacha rabosai? You could take a bite out of it. I mean, not suggesting it, but you could take a bite out of it. It's right. It's dead. So the Tanakhama will say, just like the shechita of the mother takes care of the fetus, even if the fetus is quote-unquote alive right in front of us, so to the status of the mother should take care of the fetus, legabe nevela also. Just like the mother is alive and well, there's no tumas nevela, so too, again, the fetus will not have tumas nevela as well. To which the Gemara says, Ashkechan behema tohora. So that works fine. This concept works fine for a kosher animal, right? Because you're telling me now, just like if you shecht the mother, the shechita of the mother takes care of the fetus, so too again, just like the mother doesn't convey tumas nevela right now, so the child won't convey tumas nevela. So that works fine for kosher animals. Behema tmeya midal. And how do I know about the behema tmeya? So amakra v'chi yomos mina behema. Because we both say the pasuk says as follows. Pasuk is already talking about nevela. Pasuk says v'chi yomos mina behema sharhi lachem la'achla hanogeh benivlasa yitma'at ha'aras. Torah says if an animal dies, right, without shechita, if you touch its carcass, you become tamei. So both say, so the Gemara dashes the pasuk as follows: v'chi yomos mina behema. If an animal will die, what is that referring to? Zu behema tmeya. This refers to a non-kosher animal. Asher hi lachem la'achla, that is for you to eat. Zu behema tahora, that refers to a kosher animal. So what do you see from here? Iskish behemat meya le behemat tahora. The Torah is comparing a non-kosher animal to a kosher animal. Ma behemat tahora ubratar. Just like about a kosher animal, even if the fetus dies in utero, it does not have tumas nevela. Af behemat tameya ubratar. So to buy a non-kosher animal, if the fetus dies in utero, it does not convey tumas nevela. Beautiful. So we'll say, so that is the shita of the Tana Kama. Halacha lemaisa, the fetus has the status of the mother, and therefore, even if the fetus dies in utero, it does not convey tumas nevela. Beautiful. Rabbi Yossi Haglili, my time. Rabbi Yossi, what's Rabbi Yossi Haglili's logic? Rabbi Yossi Haglili holds that halacha lemaisa, by a kosher animal, the deceased uber does not convey tumas nevela. But ultimately, again, by a non-kosher animal, it does. What's the logic? Rabbi Yitzchak to Amakra, v'chol aholich al kapov b'chol ha'chaya ha'cholechas. Ha'cholechas. We'll say, watch this. The pasuk says, anything holich al kapov, anything that walks on its paws, in any chaya that walks on four, t'meim heim lochem. Ultimately, again, our tamei b'nivlas hanoge b'nivlas sam yitma adar. If you touch their carcass, ultimately you'll be tamei. What's happening over here? Mahochi kapayim b'chaya t'mei silacha. Teacher Yosef Lilu will say, those animals which walk on paws, mahalchi kapayim b'chayo, those animals which walk on paws, right? I should say it differently. Mahalchi kapayim b'chayo tamei silachal. Yosef Lilu is very interesting in Rasha. He says, those which will walk on paws that are inside of another animal, I have made tamei to you. So we'll say a very unique drasha over here. The chala holich al kapav b'chol hachaya, Rabbi Yossi understands, is dafka referring to a fetus. Anything that will walk on paws that is inside of another animal and has died inside that animal conveys tumas nevela. Okay. Ela me'ata kalut b'may para litma. So if that's the case again, Rabbi Yossi, now kapayim ultimately again is also a lashon. When we say paws, paws comes to exclude what? Split hooves. So Rabbi Yossi Haglili is saying that this is dafka adin in animals without split hooves, i.e. non-kosher animals. So if the Torah is telling me that if I have a holchei kapayim, an animal which walks on paws, i.e. non-split hooves, that dies inside of a chaya, dies inside of another animal, that animal conveys tuma. Well, if that's the case, says Gemara Elamiata, kalut b'may par litma. If that's the case, Rabbi Yossi, then if you have, remember, kalut Rabbi Yossi is our case of a cow, right? Without split hooves, some type of deformity, right? The cow, so let's say if you have a kalut b'may para, it should go ahead and convey tuma. Why, Rabosai? D'ma'alchi kapayim b'chayihu. Because ultimately, again, Rabosai, that would satisfy the criteria of an animal that walks on paws, that is inside of another animal. So if you have a cow that's pregnant with a kalut, and that cow, the fetus dies in utero. So ultimately, again, that fetus in utero should convey tuma because it walks on paws, i.e. it doesn't have split hooves. To which the Gemara says, "Mahalchi kapayim, mahalchi arba, mahalchi arba." Because we'll say that's a different case. Why? Because that v'hai mahalchi arba, mahalchi shmonu. So we'll say under normal circumstances, what we say is, Rabbi Yossi Haglili's drasha is it's a mahalchi kapayim. It's an animal that walks on paws inside of an animal that walks on four paws. Masha'enkeim. This is a case of an animal with four paws that is inside of an animal that walks with eight paws. So what does it mean, eight paws? Because the hooves are split. Para b'may gamal lo titama. So if that's the case, again, I will say, if you have a camel that is pregnant with a cow, and I will say, now what does it mean a camel is pregnant with a cow? What it means, I will say, is that the camel is carrying something which looks like a cow, i.e. it has split hooves, right? It's carrying some type of fetus that has split hooves. If that's the case, again, Rabbi Yossi Haglili's model also should not convey tuma. Why? D'mahalchi shmona b'mahalchi arbuhu. Because ultimately, again, Rabbi Yossi, you have an animal which walks on eight, i.e. a split-hooved fetus, inside an animal that walks on four. Rabbi Yossi, because remember, Rabbi Yossi Haglili's model, so tuma is conveyed how? When you have an animal that walks on paws inside of an animal that walks on four. But if the Gemara suggests you have a variation of that, the dead fetus should not convey tuma. To which the Gemara says, I'm sorry, d'mahalchi shmona b'mahalchi arbu, d'mahalchi arbu, holech v'chol, holech v'chol holech, l'rabos para b'may gama. So ultimately, you're going to say the lashon of v'chol holech comes to include even this case of a para b'may gama, that ultimately, again, that fetus, if it dies, will convey tuma as well. Kalut b'may kluta litame. We'll say if that's the case, if you have a kalut that is inside of, that's a kalut fetus, inside of a kalut mother, that dead fetus should also convey tumah. De mahalchi arba b'mahalchi arbahu. Ultimately, again, we'll say that's what? Because that's an animal with four paws that is inside of another animal that walks on four. To which the Gemara says, no, lahachi ahani kavachomer drav chista. Ultimately, again, we'll say that's where the kavachomer drav chista will come along and be helpful to tell me that just as the shechita of the mother ultimately, again, helps for achila, certainly it would help for tuma as well. Maskifla Rav Achdabai Bar Ami. We'll say, let's just do a few more lines. So Rav Achdabai Bar Ami raised the kasha. Chazir b'mei chazira lo litame. We'll say, if that's the case, then a chazir, right, the chazir fetus inside of a chazir mother should also not convey tuma. Why not? We'll say, understand the chazir is unique. Why? It has split hooves. Because we'll say, that is an eight-hoofed animal inside of an eight-hoofed animal. Rather, Nachman Yitzchak says, you're right, Rabbi Yosef, I believe this drasha is from here. Nefesh kisiga b'chol tameh o b'nevelas chayot tameh o b'nevelas behemot tameh o b'nevelas sheretz tameh v'chi nevelas behemot tameh metamah u'betar lo metamah. So we'll say, why does the Torah single out a nevelas behemot tameh? Remember again, the halacha is nevela conveys tumah whether is it a nevela of a kosher animal or a nevela of a non-kosher animal. Why does the Torah choose to single out the nevela of a non-kosher animal? Ela eza ze. Rather, what are we referring to over here? Ze ubar. Rabbi will say, this is referring to a fetus in utero, and the Torah is telling me that a deceased fetus in utero can convey tumah. Shebet meyatame. If the fetus is of a tame animal, a non-kosher animal, then it conveys tumah. Ubitahoratar. But ultimately, again, if it's the fetus of a kosher animal, it does not convey tumah. This is Rabbi Yosef Lili's pshat, or his shita. Omeachar denafkele midrav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So we'll say, now that we learn this out from the Shoshana of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Lamali, why do I need Rabbi Yitzchak's previous drasha? To which the Gemara says, Ilav Rabbi Yitzchak Hava Amina Chula Lechidreb Yudas. Because also without Rabbi Yitzchak's drasha, I would have thought that the entire drasha is necessary, like Rebbe, Kamash Malon, no. So the Gemara says, Vaiter, Tanya, I'm Rebbe Yonasan. Namti lo leben azai. Lamadnu nevelas behema tahora shemetame. So we'll say, we've learned that what? That the nevela of a behema tahora conveys tumah. Unevelas behema tmeya shemetama. And I will say, I know that a bit nevela. And I will say, this has nothing to do with fetuses now. Right? So remember again, we just kind of, we paused on our machlokas ultimately between Rabbi Yosi Galili and the Tanakama. Right? That fundamental machlokas I will say is still here, which is the Tanakama telling me that an Uber never conveys tuma. If the Uber dies in utero, it never conveys tuma. Rabbi Yosi Galili making the distinction, the Uber of a kosher animal does not convey tuma. The Uber ultimately, again, of a non-kosher animal does convey tuma. And I will say, we'll have to stop over here. Well, let me ask Hashem continue with this conversation.